This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. I've been preaching about hope for the holidays. I'm going to continue that today. Our scripture reading is found in Isaiah. Isaiah 7 and 14, 700 years before Christ. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Amen? Emmanuel, God with us, folks. Then the scripture says, Paul said at my first answer or at my first hearing, it was a court issue. At my first answer or my first hearing, he said, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. The Lord stood with me, and he strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Let us pray. Jesus, I cannot. You never said I could. You can. You always said you would. So hide us in the cross of Calvary, that people might see you. And for all you do, we praise you, because we join Charles Spurgeon. We believe in the Holy Spirit. Until you come, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about, because of Christmas, you are not alone. Because of Christmas, you are not alone. It's football season, and there was a football coach. His name was Pepper Rogers. Pepper Rogers was the coach of the UCLA Bruins, and Pepper said it was a terrible season. He said the fans were down on me. He said the alumni were down on me. He said the leadership at the school was down on me. He said the president was down on me. He said even my friends, even my family, he said nobody wanted anything to do with me. We were having a terrible season football, playing football at UCLA. And he said, when I was at my real low point, I went to my wife. And I said, honey, I want you to know something. I feel like my dog is my only friend. And he said, honey, everybody needs at least two friends. And he said, I got home from work that afternoon, and he said, my wife had purchased me another dog. Do you realize that 4 out of 10 Americans battle loneliness? 4 out of 10 Americans battle loneliness. Albert Einstein said, it is strange to be known universally and yet so lonely. Marilyn Monroe said on one occasion, the only people who want to have anything to do with me are the people I pay. I'm the loneliest person in the world. This Christmas will be lonely for some. It will be lonely because of death. It will be lonely because of divorce. For some, it will be lonely because of discord. Families are estranged. For some, it will be lonely because of disease. For some, it will be loneliness because of deployment. For some, it will be lonely because of difficult circumstances. I love what D.L. Moody said. D.L. Moody said, God did not give us the Bible to increase our knowledge. God gave us the Bible to change our lives. And I want you to know, Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there are no others. Jesus is the way. For what you're facing, Jesus Christ is always the answer. Now, let me say something to you. Paul wrote a letter from Corinth. He wrote it to the church at Rome. Now keep in mind, He's here at Rome right now. Right now. But he wrote this letter to the church at Rome from Corinth. He addressed 26 different individuals when he wrote to the Roman church. He addressed 26 individuals. He gave 8 names of people that were with him. And even in this letter in 2 Timothy, he alluded to 17 different names. So here he is, 50 some odd people in names. But he said these words. He said, when I went for my first hearing, nobody stood with me. See, they would have the first hearing to determine if there were grounds for a trial. So in the Roman government, there was actually 2 different legal meetings. He said, when I went for my first hearing, even though I had friends there, even though I had people there that I knew, he said, nobody stood with me. I was all alone. He said, see, I was in the Mamertine prison, and they would tie my hands, and they would drop me down into this dungeon. And once I got into this cold, damp dungeon, my bed was just some straw. And I would lay down in the straw in this damp, cold dungeon. Some theologians said literally the sewage system of the day possibly ran through the dungeon. Many times, history says the individuals did not live because they were eaten by rats. He said, I was in this dungeon. I was brought out, but no one stood with me. The greatest Christian, other than Jesus Christ himself, apparently battled loneliness. Here's what I like to do, folks. Rick Warren said these words. He said, it's wise to learn from experience, but it's wiser to learn from the experience of others. But I added to it. I said, it's wise to learn from experience, but it's wiser to learn from the experience of others and not near as painful. So what I want us to do, I want us to look at how the great Apostle Paul dealt with his loneliness. There's 5 things I want you to get. I'm not going to preach long. If that's not Jesus, hang up. Listen, I'm not going to preach long. How did he deal with it? Well, first of all, he utilized his time. He utilized his time. Now keep in mind, he's in prison. He's in a Roman prison, but he writes this letter, and he writes this letter to his son in the Lord, Timothy. And he says, Timothy, in verse 13, he said, Timothy, when you come, I want you to bring my coat. It's cold. It's damp here. I need my coat. But he said, Timothy, when you come, I want you to bring my books, but I want you to bring my parchments. Because this is what he knew. I'm going to be writing the New Testament. I'm going to be writing the New Testament. What I'm going to do, I'm going to utilize my time. Now let me tell you something. Every person, since it's just us, if there's anybody other than us, would you raise your hand? So, no, it's just us. Let me tell you what I know about all of us. There's 3 things that all of us need to be fulfilled. Something to do, someone to love, and something to look forward to. Something to do, someone to love, something to look forward to. And what he said, bring those parchments because I'm going to do some writing. You know, pink ladies, those ladies right there, 85% of pink ladies, I did some research, we're going to keep it there, 85% of pink ladies battle no emotional problems. Now wait, I know what some of you are thinking. I need to get one of those pink jackets. No, it's not in the jacket. It's in serving. It's in utilizing your time. Utilizing your time. See, when you see an oak tree, there's two ways to get to the top of it. The best way to get to the top of the oak tree is simply climb up the oak tree. But there's another way. You can get on and you can sit on an acorn and wait. But I don't recommend you sit on an acorn and wait. I recommend you climb the tree. I recommend you utilize your time. I remember years ago, I just interviewed Mrs. Ruth Graham. But I remember years ago, I was in a meeting with her brother, Franklin. And I said to Franklin Graham, I said, I am so sorry. I was referring to his dad's health. And I said, I am so sorry that your dad's ministry is over. And what I was really meaning is he couldn't stand and preach like I'm standing and preaching today. And Franklin Graham said to me, oh, Pastor Benny, Daddy's ministry is not over. You don't understand. Daddy's preaching, standing in the pulpit and preaching. He's not doing that. But Daddy's praying ministry is stronger than it's ever been. And Dad's doing more praying right now than he ever has done in his life. What was he saying? When my dad's health failed him, when he was by himself, even when Miss Ruth had passed, what did he do? He utilized his time. He said, Pastor Benny, I'm lonely. What do you recommend I do? Utilize your time. That's why the Bible says when you find something for your hands to do, do it with all of your might. Not only did he utilize his time, but he minimized his hurt. You know, sometimes we want to maximize our hurt. We want to maximize our hurt. We want to tell everybody about our pity party. But I want to encourage you to quit having pity parties, because nobody comes to your party and nobody brings a gift. He minimized his hurt. Look what he said. He said, at my first hearing, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Listen to this. I pray, God, that it may not be laid to their charge. What'd be a modern day parallel? Here would be a modern day parallel. I know I'm sick, but there's other people that's been through this sickness too. A modern day parallel would be, I know I'm going through a divorce, but I'm not the first one to go through a divorce. And other people have gone through a divorce and they made it. And I'm going to make it on the other side of this divorce too. A modern day parallel would be, listen, it hurt me deeply to lose my mate, but I wasn't the first one to lose my mate. I wasn't the first one to lose my mate, and I won't be the last one to lose my mate. I'm going to make it because the Lord is with me. What was he doing? He was minimizing his hurt. I know my child's not doing exactly what I'd like for my child to do, but I'm not the first one to have a child who made choices and behaved in ways that weren't pleasing to their parents. I'm not the first one to go through this, and I'm going to make it through the other side of it. Proverbs 15 and 23 says this, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth. It was a great day in my life when I realized what somebody says to me is not near as important as what I say to myself, because death and life's in the power of the tongue, and as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You don't need to maximize your hurt. You need to minimize it and say, guess what? I'm going to make it through. My mother is 80 years old, and mom lives by herself, and she went through years of I'm alone and I'm by myself, and what if this happened? I'm here all by myself. And one day I called my mother and she said, Benny, I'll tell you what happened. I said, tell me about it. She said, I started thinking the other day, I'm all by myself. And she said, I just started talking back to myself. I said, Mama, that's good. I said, what did you start saying back to yourself? She said, I started saying back to myself, I'm not by myself. The Lord's with me. The Lord's with me, and I can make it because he'll wake up with me. He'll go to bed with me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Oh, happy day. The Lord is with me. Amen. You got to minimize the hurt. Let me tell you the third thing he did. He maximized his Bible. He maximized his Bible. He said in 2 Timothy, he said, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 13, he said, when you come, I need you to bring my coat. I need you to bring those parchments, but I want you to bring the books. Because what he was saying, if you'll bring those books, that's the Old Testament. And if I can just get the Old Testament, then I can read Psalms 23, verse 4, that says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. He said, if I can just get those books, I can read Psalms 27, verse 10, that says, when my father and my mother forsake me. Now, folks, that's bad. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. The Lord will take me up. When my wife walks out the door, the Lord will take me up. When my husband walks out the door, the Lord will take me up. When my children disobey, the Lord will take me up. Let me tell you the fourth thing he did. He realized he needed friends. He realized he needed friends. See, in verse 11, he said, now, Timothy, when you come, I want to see you. You're my son in the Lord. I know you're at Ephesus, and I know it's a long trip, but when you come, bring Mark with you. Because Paul realized in his loneliness, he needed others. We need people. One little boy went to his mom and dad's bedroom, and he said, I'm scared to sleep by myself. They said, I'll get back in that bedroom. You're not by yourself. Jesus is in there. He said, I know, but I need somebody with skin on. And listen, folks, sometimes we need somebody with skin on. Amen? Sometimes we need somebody. One guy was so lonely, he went to the doctor and he said, Doc, will you give me something? He said, yes, what do you want? He said, I want a split personality. He said, well, why on earth would you want a split personality? He said, I need somebody to talk to. I need somebody to talk to. Pastor, how do I get friends? Number one, you pray. Number one, you pray. Listen, if you're single and you say, Brother Benny, I'm not only single, I'm searching. What do you recommend I do? You pray. And you pray that God will send you somebody that loves Jesus more than you do. Yes, yes. You pray that, you know, that God will send you somebody that loves Jesus more than you do. Yes. See, when it comes many times to the single life, you've got the grippers. You've got the grippers. Yes, yes, they just gripe and they just, why didn't God send me somebody? Amen. You've just got the grippers. Yeah, and then but you don't want to be a gripper. You don't want to be a grabber. Many people's just grabbers. Their philosophy in dating's whosoever will, let them come. Grippers and grabbers. But you want the grippers. And they say, I'm going to grip hold of God's word. I'm going to grip God's word, and I'm going to ask God that God sends me somebody that loves Jesus more than I love Jesus. And if God don't send them, I don't need the others. I don't need the others. And I don't know why I'm on this. I don't know why I'm on this. But a good place to find them is in the house of God. A good place to find them is in church, not in a singles bar. Amen? You say, well, I'm in the singles bar because the odds are good. Yes, but the goods are odd. I promise you. So you pray, and listen, folks, you pray, and God, listen, in my life this year, and I'm almost done, but in my life this year, in mine and Barbara's lives, I truly believe God has sent us a couple. We just prayed that God would send us a couple, and God sent us some precious friends, and they've been friends that stick up closer than a brother. That's what God would do for you. You pray. But now look, my preaching is very deep, so you might want to write this down. Not only you pray, but you be a friend. Where'd you get this? This is deep. Oh, wait, listen. Out of the Bible. Psalms 118, verse 24. A man who hath friends must show himself friendly. See, I went out to get a friend, and I couldn't find any. I went out to be a friend, and I found plenty. Let me tell you something. Just, it's amazing. If you give people what you want, it's amazing how you'll get it back. Sometimes Barbara and I will be out at a place, and I'll say, I'm going to do it, and it'll be July. And she'll say, don't do it. But I'm teaching her something. We'll be out at a place, and it'll be July. And I'll see somebody, and I'll say, Merry Christmas. And they'll say, Merry Christmas. See, whatever you give is what you get back. Whatever you give is what you give back. And if you give people a smile, what I've learned, you're more out to get a smile back. See, look, we're going to be leaving this room in just a few moments. We're going to be leaving this room in just a few moments. Just a few moments, you're going to leave the room. You're going to go in another room. And every room that you walk in with one of two attitudes. Look here. Here can be the attitude. You're 5 minutes late to draw attention to yourself. And that attitude is here I am. You say, not in the church. Oh, yes, in the church. I've known preachers that could strut sitting down. My Tennessee mother said, I'd like to buy them for what they're worth and sell them for what they think they're worth. See, you either walk in the room with, here I am, or you walk in the room, there they are. Amen. There they are. Amen. There they are. Hey, Sam Walton's done pretty well. Walmart, y'all know about it. Sam Walton had a 10-foot rule. He said, if you work for me, and you come within 10 feet of any person, you better speak to them. I was at Walmart the other day. It's obvious Sam's dead now. let me tell you, I'm just really attention deficit disorder's bad. Okay. The last thing, how he dealt with loneliness, get this, folks. He recognized God's presence. He recognized God's presence. Look, he said in verse 17, get this. He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. All forsook me, but he said, the Lord stood with me. I want you to know something. Christians can be lonely. Christians can be lonely, but Christians can never be alone. I'm gonna tell you, that just makes me want to go devil hunting with a switch. Listen, Christians can be lonely, But Christians can never, ever be alone. Christians can be lonely, but Christians can never, ever be alone. There was a guy in the Bible, his name was Peter. And one day Peter sat down with Jesus. And he said, Jesus, let me tell you something. Let me talk to you about something. Boy, Peter was always popping off. But if you study the Bible, folks, he asked more questions than all the disciples put together. Study the scriptures. He asked more questions than all of them put together. And he arose to the leader of the apostles. But he sat down one day with Jesus and he said, Jesus, I just want to remind you something. They may all cut tail and run. But when they cut the lights out, you can count on old Pete. That's what he said. Look, he said, they may all fall away, but I never will. You can count on Pete. You said, somebody told me that the other day. Well, listen, they won't have to tell you. If they're true blue, they won't have to tell you. See, in prosperity, our friends know us, but in adversity, we know our friends. Pete said, I never will. Here's what I would say to Pete. One day when I get to heaven, and I'm almost done, when I get to heaven, I'm going to say to Pete, Pete, be careful about saying never. Be careful, Peter, about saying never. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Benny? Howard Hendricks studied 600 leaders who messed up morally. Howard Hendricks said they had three things in common. They weren't daily in the Bible and prayer. Number two, Howard Hendricks said they had no accountability. And number three, they said, it will never happen to me. Pastor Benny, I'll never go through a divorce. Be careful about saying never. Pastor, I want you to know something. I'll never be addicted. Be careful about saying never. But Pastor Benny, I'll never file bankruptcy. Be careful about saying never. My child will never. Be careful. Whew. It's hard to have a home like heaven while raising a child from hell. Be careful about, I would never do that. I would never go there. I would never let that happen. All I'm trying to say, be careful about saying never. I would say to all of us, let's be careful about it. But I'm so glad, folks, that he doesn't have to be careful about it. Because he said in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You didn't hear me. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And folks, we've got to recognize God's presence. Let me tell you something. I believe the most terrible thing, if a person dies without Christ, I've preached three times. This is the third time. I'll eat something real quick and preach two funerals this afternoon. Five times today. I believe the worst thing about a person who dies without Christ is eternally separated from God. Oh, the loneliness eternally separated from God.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.